welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This morning we've got some incredibly special guests with us. I'm going to ask everyone from the AE team if you just want to stand for a moment. There are a bunch of them scattered all around. Great stuff. So fantastic having you with us. The team from Pietermaritzburg, many of us will remember last week. Hopefully you'll remember last week. Michael Cassidy spoke. You guys can take a seat. And they're from Michael Cassidy's team. Just a part of a large team that's come to join us for Fired Up this week. And involved in various facets of the ministry, involved with media and marketing, and Daryl's the chairperson of Anglo-American, we heard yesterday. And then the rest of the time, he's the treasurer at African Enterprise. But it's great to have you with us, and Stephen and Rachel, who I'll introduce in a moment. I just want to just take one more moment to, first of all, thank you for the way in which you as a church have been giving, that we've been able to contribute to making Fired Up happen. Events like this, unfortunately, aren't cheap at all. But thank you so much to all of you who have been giving. It's made it possible for us to give and to contribute towards the week. And then very importantly, this evening, we'll be having that service that Murray shared about in the announcements across the road at the Rembrandt Hall, starting at 6 o'clock. And you need tickets to get in. But if you don't have a ticket, don't worry. On the way out at the info table, we've got some tickets for you. We also have tickets for Tuesday evening's event, Tuesday evening with the Arrows, and Pierre Spies and Michael Cassidy is going to be sharing, also in the Rembrandt Hall. And then there are also tickets at the info table for Friday evening's event, which will take place at the school, this school where we're now, on the sports field, where Angus Buchan will be ministering along with some other people. And we want to invite you to come and join us for all of those events. But most important, you need to bring two things to every one of these events when you do come. You need to bring your tickets, because otherwise you're going to be waiting outside. And you need to bring an unbelieving or skeptical or someone who's not growing in their faith. Somebody who's far from Jesus and usually praying for them to grow and to have an encounter with Christ and to grow in their faith. You need to bring one of them along as well. As beautiful and as amazing as these events are going to be throughout the week, that's our primary focus this week. We want to have unbelievers have encounters and meetings with Jesus. So there's people that you've been praying for on your prayer cards. Send them a message. Take a chance. Say, hey, don't you want to come? I'm going to go and listen to the ladies, to Debbie Kirsten, Gary Kirsten, the cricketer. I'm going to go listen to her speak on marriage and men, which hopefully she's figured it out because apparently no one else can, ladies. So go and listen to her. The marriage bit is the easy bit. The men bit is the hard bit, I'm told. You notice that there's no way in the session speaking about understanding women. It's just, no one's bold enough to try that. So we just love and care for. But there's some fantastic sessions throughout the week. If you don't have a program, the program is available on the website, just fired-up.co.za. And a fantastic program throughout the week. And someone who's going to be ministering quite a bit during this week is African Enterprises Senior Evangelist, and he was born in Zimbabwe, grew up in Malawi, now lives and serves in Pietermaritzburg with African Enterprise. And he's got a really incredible story, and I kind of want to say that as an introduction to him, but I'm going to spoil it, so I'm rather going to let him tell it. Just an incredible way in which God has moved upon his life and is moving upon his life, as well as his wife Rachel. Thank you so much for being with us. And please come forward. We'd love to hear what you have to share with us. And Stephen's also going to be sharing a little bit this morning. I don't know if I said your name, but Stephen Lungu. So thank you so much for sharing with us. We really welcome and honor you as a gift from God. Can we just pray for him before he shares? If you just want to extend your hands with us this morning. Father, we want to thank you for this incredible gift, Lord. We want to thank you for a man whose heart, Lord, you have turned completely to you. And even where he's standing now, Lord, I just sense, Lord, at a moment in his life having to make decisions, important decisions, that, Lord, you are just saying that as long as he keeps his eyes and his ears, his heart stayed upon you, you will keep him in perfect peace, Lord. God, we thank you that you will lead and guide him, and specifically this morning as well, God, that you lead and guide him to speak words of truth and life to our hearts, Lord. We receive him as a gift from you, Lord. We receive him as someone sent with a message from your throne room, Lord. We ask that, Holy Spirit, this morning you just breathe life over everything he says and cause it to bring light and life to all who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Stephen.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. That's better. Yeah. I hope you can see me, eh? Because I'm too dark. If you can't see me, you can see my teeth at least. So I'll try to smile as much as I can. I'm married to Rachel, one wife. And I'm stuck with her for until Jesus comes. I want to thank God for this opportunity to come and share with you this morning. And I hope the Lord is going to bless us together. And that watch, I can't see it well. Oh, yes. Okay. Because I'm an African, I can go to 5 o'clock preaching. God, you know, when he created time, he gave it to Africans. But he gave watches to white people. You know? So we can preach to any time. But I try to keep the white man's watch. Praise the Lord. Let me just base my testimony. I like reading Mark chapter 10. If we can open our Bibles. Mark chapter 10. When I share part of my testimony, I always try to base my testimony from Mark chapter 10. And always ask in different churches, what is the best verse in the Bible? Who can tell me? The one you feel this is the best verse. Some people pick up John 3:16, and Psalm 23. Psalm 23, even drunkards recite it. You seem completely drunk, but reciting Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd is staggering. And we've got so many verses in the Bible which are number one. But I would like to pick my personal number one verse from Mark chapter 10, from verse 46. Life went as usual every day. This man, Bartimaeus, desperate and also asking questions tomorrow. What will tomorrow give me? The next hour, the next hour, the next hour. Life went as usual. He was a nobody, a nobody. Nobody ever stopped just to have 5 minutes to chat with him. He had no value in the eyes of people. The little changes they had, the coins which made noise in their pockets, that's what they gave to this man. They threw it in his hands. He was a nobody. And a person like that, he asked many questions. Why? Me. Why was I born blind? Why me? I don't know. Have you ever asked those questions? Why me? And some of you, life has been so smooth that you don't need to ask that question because everything is at the press of the button. Everything comes automatically. But this man seated there asking 101 questions which had no answers. Why me? He was a nobody. Not people really valued his life, but this particular day became another day, and I want to thank God for that song we are singing, Let Heaven Come. Now, my theme this morning, when heaven stops for you, when heaven stops for you, what do you do? I was preaching once in Egypt, and as I was preaching for almost 2 months, went across Egypt preaching the word of God. But one day in Cairo, there happened to be a motorcade of the president going to open a certain place or a building, and with the sirens, the motorbikes, and so on. But a poor boy from the garbage, who lived in the garbage, very dirty, in tatters, smelling, this boy ran across the street and stopped in the middle of the street. And the police almost shot him dead. But the president said, stop. Bring that boy into the limousine. And the poor, pathetic boy was brought to the presidential limo and was asked to sit next to the president. In his tatters, smelling, stinking, the president asked him, that boy, why have you stopped us? And the boy said, I want some sweets. Can you imagine how stupid that boy was? If he had asked the president, I want education, I want a good house for my family, I want this and this, the president could have given it to him. But he asked for sweets. We may be laughing this morning. When heaven stops for us, often we ask for sweets. Things which are not real. Things which do not take us to eternity. Things which are just for today. We ask for BMW, for Mercedes, for all these. These are things. We will ask for things which really don't move us from one level to another. We ask for sweets. And now, let me read this story. I was 22 years old when God, for the first time, opened my eyes to read the Bible. I was illiterate, a street boy, never had any education. I didn't know how to write my own name. I didn't know how to read. And at the age of 22, God opened my eyes. And the first book I ever read was the Bible. So I want to prove to you that I'm able to read. Mark chapter 10. From verse 46, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard, that's the time factor. When he heard, the moment he heard, not that he heard that there was Pontius Pilate, but when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's only a person who is desperate, a person who is fixed on the corner, has no way out, no means of setting himself loose. That's the person who cries for mercy. The person who beats his chest, God have mercy on me. But when things are all right, okay, everything is all right, you have no time to beat your chest. But this man, he said, Jesus, son of David. But now, when you look at that verse 47, he says, when he heard. Now, when you hear about this name, Jesus, two things happen. You either love this name or you hate it. You either love this name or you don't like it. But that moment he heard, something stirred up in his heart. Something moved in his heart. You know, hearing this name, you can't just sit still there. Something has to happen inside. No matter whether you are an atheist, you hear about this name, something has to happen here. Because it is a name above all names. What a glorious name. And I was one of those guys, if you told me about the name of Jesus, you get two things, a knife or a bullet. And I didn't mean words. I hated this name, Jesus, and I hated the Bible. I used to say that the Bible was brought by the white man to brainwash the black people and make them slaves. So it was a book of slavery. But when this man heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Now, why was he shouting in the midst of people who were walking to and fro? He had maybe tried to stop people. Please take me to Jesus. Please take me to Jesus. But the following verse, look what happened. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Shut up. Now, the people who told him to be quiet had two eyes. They were able to see. They are telling the man who had no eyes when heaven was passing by, when grace was passing by, when love was passing by, when healing was passing by, they stopped this man to shut up. But now he says, nobody wants to take me to Jesus. So what do I do? He had a conference with his lungs. And he says, hey, lungs, please help me out to shout. The Bible says he shouted all the more. Man, how do you, when this name passes by, you can't zip your mouth. And this man, he shouted all the more. Said, lungs, help me. Now, that was foolishness to shout in the midst of that crowd. Who can hear you? Nobody. But Jesus had the supernatural hearing. He could pick up a crying voice in the midst of that crowd, in the midst of that noise. Jesus can pick up somebody. You know, there's so much noise in the world. Noise of AIDS, drugs, you name it. But if there's a crying heart from inside here, Jesus will always hear that voice. Jesus will hear that voice. And then, you know, I like this when he shouted, Son of David, have mercy on me. He repeats the second time. Now, the best verse is verse 49. Jesus stopped. What a glorious verse. John 3:16 comes after this verse. Praise the Lord. Are we together, church? You know, John 3:16 comes into action, but that is when heaven stops for you. Because when Jesus stopped, the whole host of heaven stopped. Because when Jesus moves, heaven moves. When Jesus stops, heaven stops. I can visualize when he stopped, all the hosts of angels were saying, hey guys, Jesus has stopped. Now that's time to dance. Because Jesus said there's so much rejoicing in heaven for one sinner. who comes to Christ. So much rejoice. So they say, hey guys, this is time to dance. But I like angels in heaven. They dance the African way. Because white people don't know how to dance. You know? I think they, because Africans know how to dance, you know. So they said, hey, hey, let's dance the African way. Because in heaven, without Africans, it would be the most boring place. Don't you think so? Oh, heaven would be exciting with Africans. Because there would be so much singing. And because you guys, how do you carry all these guitars and pianos? Because we Africans, we clap hands and we dance. Amen? So, Jesus stopped. And when he stopped, he says, call him. Now, Jesus did one awkward thing here. The man was blind. And when he stopped, he never walked to the blind man. No. He stopped where he was, but he invited the man to come to him. And you think, hey, God, this man is blind. If I were Peter and John, I said, Jesus, you walk to him, but you're asking him to come to you. All what Jesus was doing is to change the mindset of this blind man. His mindset was, I am blind. I am blind. I am blind. I can't. I can't. I can't. Negative. 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 Many people fail to see the miracles in their hearts because of the mindset. I don't think it can happen to me. I don't think this can happen. It happened to others, but not me. So they sit there with that mindset, negative mindset. So when Jesus stopped, he invited the blind man to come to him. So this distance to where Jesus was changing his mind. That was faith moving. And as he came to Jesus, he doesn't heal him either. Are we together? He doesn't heal him. Listen to this. The following verse, 50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Again, if I were Peter, I said, Jesus, now this is too much. This is awkward. You can see the man is blind. Just heal him quickly. But he doesn't do that. He asked him a question. What do you want me to do for you? You know, God always, he knows your situation. He knows your problem. But he will still ask you a question. What do you want me to do for you? All what he wants is a little confession from your mouth. Admit your problem. God, this is my problem. You know, African way of begging some money we do, I'll go to Philip and say, Philip, hey man, I want $100. But the African way we go, hey, I'm on the rugby, who played so well, the Sharks and so on. Hey, you know, Orlando Pirates, we talk about soccer, what, and the sunshine with. After 1 hour, oh, Philip, can you help me with $100? You see, I was not coming there for Orlando Pirates or Sharks. No, I wanted $100, but we go round and round and round. That's the African way of begging. But the white way, the European way is you come straight with your problem, you ask for money. Finish. But if you go around, you are a crook. So here, this man was asked, what do you want me to do for you? And this man said, Jesus, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus says, go. Your faith has healed you. His eyes popped up. And he doesn't see Peter, Andrew, John. He sees Jesus. My brothers, my sisters, when you see Jesus, you are unstoppable. When you see Jesus, you are crazy for Jesus. When you see Jesus, my goodness me, you don't go with a, you know, donkey face. you know, a donkey is always serious. You know, when you see Jesus, you are excited. You are full of joy. You are full of passion. I don't like this Christianity where there's no passion, there's no zeal for Christ. Many Christians have got foot and mouth disease. You know, foot and mouth disease is for animals. But when it catches Christians, they don't talk about Jesus. They don't go for Jesus. You know, there are many Christians who have been born again 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but they've never won one soul to Jesus. They are excited. They are getting fatter and fatter in the church spiritually, but they don't give out to others. They don't bring others to Jesus. They don't share their testimonies around their working place or college or wherever you are. We have seemed to have foot and mouth disease. We have no passion for Jesus. Man, when the time I came to Jesus, I was unstoppable. I was saved on Sunday. On Monday, I won 7 people to Jesus. And I've never stopped ever since. Uneducated, never knew how to read, but I was on fire for God, and I've never stopped ever since. I've never passed through immigration and zipped my mouth. The immigration officer stamping my passport has to hear about Jesus. I've never been in the plane and just sit in the plane comfortable. The person, unfortunately, the one sitting next to me, by the time we land, he heard about Jesus. I've won many souls above the clouds. People weeping in the plane, coming to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when you see Jesus, you are unstoppable. Read the last verse. Let's read the last verse. Go and say, Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, that moment, he received his sight. And what happened? He never sat by the roadside. He walked with Jesus where action was. By the roadside, there are 4 problems. Problem number 1, when you are blind, you can't see the beauty of creation. You can't see the beauty of people. You can't see the beauty of all what is around you because you are blind. So there are many people who are spiritual blind who cannot see the goodness of the Lord, who cannot see that glorious power of Christ in other people's lives because they're spiritual blind. And number 2, when you are blind, you need someone to take you from point A to point B, to drag you from point A to point B. So there's that type of Christians who come to church who need to be taken from point A to every Sunday. When the preacher preaches the word, they say, amen, hallelujah. They are being dragged from parent, but from Monday to Saturday, they have a flat battery. They need to be recharged on Sunday again. And on Monday to Friday, they are flat battery. Come again on Sunday. We praise the Lord. We do everything in church. But really, there's no passion. Seated by the roadside, you need a pastor to take you from point A to B. We are like those African cars, you know. Have you ever seen those African cars which don't have a starter? And when you stop, you have to stop on a sloppy place. Because if you're on a flat place, you need 10 people to push you. Push and vroom, vroom, it goes. That's the type of people who sit by the roadside. But problem number 3, by the roadside, you become a spectator. By the roadside, you become a spectator. I remember preaching in Los Angeles. After I preached, I went to my hotel room. I had this gadget called a remote control. And I didn't know how to use it that time. But it was changing channels. And I couldn't figure out why this thing without a wire to there, it was changing it. So I was doing like this, like a monkey, you know. And I said, oh, no, what's going on, you know. But, you know, it flicked somewhere where Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were boxing. And I bursted into laughter with tears. Each time I looked at the screen, I would fall back laughing. But you know, I wasn't laughing at Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. No. I was laughing at spectators. When these guys were boxing like this, spectators were going like this. You know, they were, I said, then that made me laugh, you know. Have you ever watched people, you know, like they are playing rugby? They are not in the pitch, but when they do a scrum, they also go like this. Eh? They are spectators, but they are not in action. You know, we come to church, we have so many spectators. When we come, we call, a pastor calls for a prayer meeting. Only 5 will come to a prayer meeting. Where's the rest of the church? Prayer meeting is only 2, 3 who come. Or even tithing. There is 10% in the church who faithfully tithe to the Lord. But the rest are spectators. Are you one of the spectators? Maybe in the church you have got 10% who go out there, winning souls, bringing people to Jesus every Sunday. They can't come to church without bringing someone to Christ. But the rest are spectators. When we say amen, they also say amen. When we say hallelujah, they also say hallelujah. But here there's no passion for God. Always moving on the same level. The same level. They don't go upwards, they don't go downwards. They are like those long LP records we used to play before. Eh? It plays, it plays, it plays, it plays. But sometimes it will have a crack. When it has a crack, it doesn't continue with the song. It says, pass me, pass me, pass me, pass me, pass me. It repeats. So often when you are by the roadside, you repeat. This what you did last week, you did today. You can't tell me the level where you are this week. Because you are repeating. A people who repeat everything one Sunday after the other, they don't go upwards, they don't go downwards, but go on the same level. Like this man at the pool of Bethsaida, 38 years on one place. Now, when you stay too long on the same level, you develop your own language. The language you develop, you say, like this man at the pool, maybe tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, maybe tomorrow. Now, when there are too many maybes, you end up by saying, maybe I was born to be like this. So you have established your comfort zone. In that comfort zone, you don't move at all. You know, people who stay on the comfort zone, they don't experience God on the other place. So this man, the Bible says he followed Jesus along the road. Now, watch him behind the 12 disciples. I cannot see him going like this, you know. No, no, I can see him jumping up and say, hey, I can see. Hey, I can see. Hey, he was jumping up, excitement, joy, full of life. Amen. Full of, you say amen this year? Oh, okay. All right. I was excommunicated in my church for saying hallelujah. Yeah, so he was excited, full of joy. He was a nobody, but Jesus stopped for him. Heaven stopped for him. And after that, he was on fire for God. My brothers and sisters, when you see the glory of God, you are unstoppable. We need to be like those 12 spies. The 12 spies, they saw the 4 G's. The first G's they saw was the giants, the children of Anak. Say, wow! The second G, they saw the great fortified walls. They said, wow, how could we climb up there? But when they saw the great fortified walls, they saw the giants, then they saw that the land swallows everybody. they saw the graves. But when you see the grave number 4, automatically you see yourself like a grasshopper. We saw ourselves like grasshoppers. But my brothers and sisters, we need to be like Joshua and Caleb. They also saw the 4 G's. But these boys, 2 boys, went beyond the 4 G's. They saw the 5th G, the great and almighty God. Once you see the great and almighty God, you say, we can do it. You are unstoppable because you have seen the great and almighty God. What a glorious Savior. And so, that's where I come in as Stephen. I was like this man by the roadside. The day I came to Jesus, even the preacher had to use a handkerchief to lead me to Jesus because I was smelling. I was stinking. I was horrible. For months, I'd never had a bath. I was coming from the bush as a guerrilla fighter. My mother dumped me when I was 4 years old, left me with my brother and my baby sister. Because my mother was given to marriage to my father at the age of 13. So I was born when my mother was only 14. She almost died. And later on, she was put in the incubator. But she was married to a man who was 50 years old. So my father was 50 and my mother was only 13. And the only thing I knew in our home was my dad bashing my mother day in and day out. There was no day I didn't see blood in the nose of my mother. And she would be bashed so severely that as a young boy, I would try to save my mother. But my dad would push me aside. But one day, he pushed me aside against the wall, and I was bleeding on my head. And I turned around, looked in the eyes of my dad, and I didn't say a word. And my dad said, why are you looking at me like that? And I didn't answer him. But in my mind, this is what I said. Let me grow up, and I'll kill you. Brothers and sisters, I was growing up just to kill my father, the way he bashed my mother every day. But one day he walked out of the house from Zimbabwe, went to Malawi, and then my mother, out of desperation, she took us downtown in Harare, said, Steve, hold your baby sister, I'm going to the toilet. And she went to the toilet and she never came back. Left me with my 2-year-old brother and my baby sister. And the police found us and rushed with my baby sister to the hospital and my brother and I to the orphanage. And when they took our sister to the hospital, they separated the 2 brothers and their own sister. That took 39 years before we saw our sister again. And at the orphanage, upon arrival, these big boys who are bullies, they beat me on my nose. I was bleeding and crying. And the teacher said, who beat you up? I said, some of the boys beat me up. Said, tell me their names. I said, sir, I don't know their names. Said, young boy, if you don't tell me their names, I'll beat you up. I thought he was joking. I said, sir, I've just arrived. And he grabs me. He ties my little hands around the pole. And he slashes me 12 times. And I was screaming and wetting myself. And all went to deaf ears. Following day, these boys would beat me again, and I would have 12 slashes, so much that I could hardly sit on my back because of the terrible pains. 3rd day, 4th day, and these boys were playing a game, but not me. I was having both sides. And the 5th day, I went to the toilet, and I was shouting there alone in the toilet. I said, God, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Why did you create me to suffer like this? And the teachers heard me again. Said, young boy, who told you to shout against God? And I turned around and looked at him in his eyes. And this day was different. And he said, young boy, why do you look at me? And I didn't answer him. He takes me to the same pole. But this day was completely different. And I said to myself, Stephen, stand like a man. And here is a 5-year-old boy telling yourself, stand like a man. So as he tied me there, he gave me 12 slashes. Every day on the first slash, I would scream for dear life and wet myself. But this day I was silent. He beat me, second one, third one, dead silent. Quiet, no cry. Not even a drop of a tear in my eyes. And he was doing the ropes, he saw my eyes were dry. He said, young boy, you think you are tough? You think you are tough? He gives me another 12, but not a drop of a tear in my eyes. When he loosened my tape, I turned around, looked at this man as if nothing had happened. And he said, young boy, what type of a boy are you? He had created an animal of a boy. Because if you hold back your tears, those tears become dangerous. Never, ever stop those tears. If you want to cry, cry out. Let them out. That's medicine for your soul. But if you hold back your tears, even the best counselor cannot reach out in your life. And so I held those tears and never realized that those tears were going to be dangerous. And so I walked out of the orphanage, leaving my brother there, whom I was going to see after almost 30, 35 years. And then looking for a place, found an old road, and under that bridge, that became my permanent home. At the age of five or six, I started living under that bridge, scavenging in the garbage bins in the white suburbs and so on. At the age of nine, I started smoking my cigarettes and formed a gang at the age of 10. And at the age of 12, we had named this gang the Black Shadows. Now, this gang of the Black Shadows was the most dangerous gang, and nobody walked across this gang, walked away alive. That was the most dangerous gang to meet within the streets. And later on, I had found I had two revolvers and my knife, which I had named the Dragon. Now, that knife, each mark on that knife told you how many times that knife had gone into someone's body. And I had no fear. And a boy of 12 years with two guns, I was in control of the streets. I didn't fear police officers. I didn't fear anybody. Because I was looking for death. I just wanted to die. But I had to do the most ruthless things for me to die. So I became that boy. Even I told my gang, you never laugh in my gang. And I never used to laugh. First time I laughed, I was 20 years, the night I accepted Jesus. And I never used to laugh in my gang, and I said, you never laugh. And one day a girl came with a Bible to share a testimony. She said, brother, I want to tell you about Jesus. And I was quiet. And she came close and said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And I pulled out my knife and went over this girl, just the mention of Jesus to me. I said, you'd never talk to me about this name, Jesus. And my friend said, Steve, what are you doing? And I pulled out my gun towards my friend. He said, please, don't shoot. And I said, you never stop me what I'm doing. So my life went from bad to worse. Started smoking marijuana, my drugs, and you name it, LSD and so on. And I went deep into drugs. And then one day I was about 15, we joined the Freedom Fighters in Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe. Trained in the bush that this thing about Jesus was a myth. Because he was painted like a white man. So to me, Jesus was a white man. And because he used the Bible, so he said, kill every white man. You only greet a white man when you kill him first, then greet him later. And so you never greet a white man while he's still talking, because he will make you a slave. So I embraced the Marxist ideology, became a staunch communist. And then embraced also Mao Zedong teachings. And then it was there that I said, I want to blow up everything, or like derailing trains with landmines and so on. And when I was 20, I was assigned to go and plant a bomb at a certain bank where many white people used to go. And I was so excited that Sunday evening to go and plant that bomb that on Monday morning, when many white people were in that bank, the bomb would go off. So with that excitement, as we were going 6 o'clock in the evening, we saw this big, massive tent by the roadside, and we heard that it was from South Africa. And I said, well, there's nothing good which can come from South Africa. They're full of apartheid system and so on. Guys, they are racist, torturing black people, and they're here coming to teach us about God. That's brainwashing our minds. So before we get to the bank, let's surround this tent, take our AK-47, blow up everybody with bullets, and I want every person inside to die. If one person is going to skip, I'll give you a gift of a bullet. He said, okay, Steve, we'll do that. He said, what time? I said, 7 o'clock. One of my friends said, it's 5 to 7, Steve. So what do we do in these 5 minutes? I said, well, let's go inside and look at the people we're about to kill. Only 2 minutes. Not more than 2 minutes. So we went inside to sit for 2 minutes. So that was a good mistake to give God 2 minutes. So we went inside and sat there at the back, and they were singing choruses and, you know, glorious chorus. But my gang at the back, we started singing out of tune to disturb the meeting. And one preacher came and touched my shoulder and said, boys, please keep quiet. You are making noise. And I pulled out my knife. I said, preacher, if you ever touch me again, I'll kill you. A lady jumped to the preacher and said, please walk away from these boys. They are dangerous. So he walks away. I started tossing my knife up and down. And then suddenly, they invited a girl from Soweto in Johannesburg to share a testimony. And the girl was gorgeous. She was beautiful. And she confused me. And as she shared a testimony, I said, now what's wrong? Because in my mind, I used to think Christianity is for the old grannies who are about to die because they were useless, so they needed to be Christians. But such a pretty girl becoming a Christian, that's not on. But the more she shared the testimony, there was one thing that troubled me. Because around her, there was that glow. She was shining with the glory of God. And I said to my friend on my right, you see that girl is shining? He said, no, she's not shining. So I said to my friend on my left, do you see that girl shining? He said, no, she's not shining. I said, you guys, what type of eyes do you have? And but it was that glow around that girl, which was so glorious. She had something which I couldn't put my finger on, but then she invited another black evangelist from Soweto. And he stood up and read 2 verses, Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. And he read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty you may be rich in Christ. Then he kept quiet. He started crying. And I said, now, I've never seen a preacher who reads the Bible and starts crying. Why is he crying? And he was weeping and tears on his Bible. So I said in my mind, the first confusion was the pretty girl. Second one is the preacher reading the Bible. Instead of preaching, he's crying. Why is he crying? But as it were answering my questions, he says, I am crying because the Spirit of God is speaking with my spirit right now that many people seated here tonight are going to die. I said, uh-oh. Who told him what we're about to do? So I said, guys, get ready. So I took one of my guns from the back. I tucked here in front. And I said, get ready with your hand grenades and bombs. And so we started getting ready with our bombs. And then he starts preaching. He said, tonight I'm going to preach about, you know, ghost transaction. That when you surrender your life to Jesus, in return, in one package, he's going to give you 4 things. Number one, he's going to give you his forgiveness. All your sins will be forgiven. Number two, he's going to give you joy. Number three, he's going to give you peace. Number four, he's going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then I said in my mind, well, that's a good deal. If I give him one, he gives me four. So as I'm thinking, this man is still in tears, preaching that gospel that Jesus demonstrated this transaction by being rejected himself while he was in his mother's womb. I said, yes, I can identify with that Jesus. And he said, Jesus was born in a manger where it was stinking. I said, here I am sleeping under a bridge. And then he said, Jesus had a borrowed donkey. Jesus had a borrowed cross where he was crucified. That cross didn't belong to Jesus. It belonged to Barabbas. And he was crucified on a borrowed cross. But when he died, he was buried in a borrowed grave. And I started getting angry. I said, how can the Son of God? Everything was borrowed for my sake. And then he said he went to glory. And he sits on the right hand of God the Father, but one day is coming. But when he comes, he'll be the God of judgment. That's the part of the message I didn't like. Because when he preached about the judgment of God and every kind of sin, I didn't like his finger. Every time he pointed the finger like he was pointing at me, and he would point this direction like the finger was bending towards me, and he would point this way like the finger. So I took out my knife. I wanted to kill my friend. I said, I will kill you. How can you go and tell the preacher about my sins? And my friend pulled out his knife and said, I also kill you. You told him about mine too. So we faced each other and we sat down with our knives, but that finger made me restless. So the next thing I said, oh, this preacher thinks he's clever. So when you do like this, I would duck down behind someone's back and I would sit up. When the finger comes, I would duck. So I was going up and down. But little did I know that you can never hide from the finger of God. And I broke down in tears that night. I was crying like a little child. Picked up my AK-47 and my bombs, and I started walking forward and knelt at the feet of that preacher and held his legs in tears. His trousers were wet, soaked wet with my tears. And he didn't stop preaching. He went on preaching. And then suddenly, another rival gang came with the bombs and threw the bombs into the tent and blew up that tent. Many, many dead bodies around, just as he had said in the beginning. Dead bodies. The tent was bent up the top. No car survived outside. Every car was set ablaze. And soldiers were shooting tear gas and so on to bring peace after an hour, so it was quiet. And I happened to be the only boy who remained behind, pathetic and smelling. And the preacher came to me and said, young boy, why have you remained behind? I said, can you hear Jesus? Save a sinner like me. He said, yes, God loves you. The moment he said God, I pulled out my gun, pointed on his forehead, shaking in anger. I said, preacher, I'll kill you right now. Never tell me about God. God didn't love me. My mother dumped me. I'm 20 years old. I don't know how to read and write. You tell me that God loves me. I want your Jesus you've been preaching about tonight. To me, I thought God was different. Jesus was different. So he started crying. As he was crying, I wondered why this preacher was crying. And he said, young boy, let me tell you. In Soweto, a 14-year-old girl was coming from school. A man with a knife forced her in the bush, raped her several times, left for dead. She became pregnant months later. And she gave birth in the public toilet in Soweto. And she took that child and forced the baby in the toilet and ran away. And a woman was passing by. She found this baby and rushed to the hospital, and the baby survived. He said, that baby's me. He said, you were thrown away in the streets, but I was thrown away in the toilet. So he read me Psalms 27. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. It was because of this scripture that night I said, Jesus, come into my life. Change me tonight. I'm tired of my lifestyle. And I confessed all my sins before God in tears broken before. But then suddenly I felt like something happened in my life. From the top of my head, felt so cleansed. Although I was stinking outside, but inside, it was glorious. The peace of God flooded my heart. That joy. No language can ever explain that joy I experienced that night. And for the first time in my life, I cried. First time. Those tears just released me. Let me close. In Africa, we close many times. But this is but this is South African closing. I accepted the Lord. I went under the bridge where I used to sleep. I knelt down. I said, God, now what do I do? I don't know how to read and write. You have saved my life. And then as I was praying, the Spirit of God came upon me. And I don't know what language I was talking. It was so glorious, so glorious. Then I said, God, it's enough. It is enough. And then suddenly I went to sleep. And that was my best sleep ever, which I had no nightmares. No nightmares. I slept like a baby. In the morning, the same place I used to sleep from age 5 to 20, the same place was so brand new, the same trees, brand new. I said, God, why couldn't I see this before? And I went to a tree nearby. I hugged one tree. I said, Lord Jesus, if you are only here, this is how I was going to hug you. And the Spirit of God came upon me and said, the voice says, Stephen, I will open your eyes and I will send you to many nations you do not know. But take these weapons to the police. I said, God, they are going to hang me. He said, I will be with you. So I took my weapons and went to the police. As I was going to the police, that's where in the bus I ran those 7 people. Less than 24 hours in Christ, I won 7 people to Jesus. And 3 of them are full-time pastors. And then at the police, I said, I'm under arrest. They said, where is the police officer? I said, you couldn't arrest me, but Jesus has arrested my heart. They say, what? I said, Jesus has arrested my heart. And then after 8 hours of interrogation, the commissioner of police said, if your Jesus has forgiven you, we forgive you too. And so the Bible says, if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And I was free at last. So the police officer gave me money to buy myself a Bible, which I didn't know how to read. But I enjoyed flipping the pages only. But I said, God, the day I'll read this book, I'll read it, and I'll read it, and I'll read it. And I read my Bible passionately. And I love the Word of God. But I was 22 years old under the bush where I said, God, just open my eyes to read your book. And under that bush, that's where God opened my eyes to read his book. So now I can speak 10 languages fluently. No education, but God has picked up a nobody like me, cleansed me, taken me around the world. I've been almost around the whole globe on planet Earth, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I've got yet 23 countries to go. But God can take up a nobody, preach to presidents. I've been to White House, and 2 years ago, preaching to Pentagon, to the military and the CIA intelligence in the United States. God can pick up a nobody and make you a somebody in the hands of Jesus. But you know, when heaven stops for you, he will ask you, what do you want me to do for you? Maybe you have been on the same level for too long. You are not going upwards or downwards. You have no passion for God. God wants to touch your life. And years later, as I was preaching in Harare to a football stadium, thousands of people came forward to accept Jesus. And I was praying for the sick, and one woman jumped up. I'm healed. And I said, God bless you. Come again tomorrow. I said, no, I've got one more problem. I said, what is your problem? I said, from the way you have shared your testimony, you must be my son. And that was my own mother. 49 years later, the same boy she dumped away, that same boy brought her to Jesus. And God, you know, did a miracle to give me that inner healing to be able to forgive my mother. It wasn't easy to forgive my mother. It wasn't easy. And later on, I found my brother. And later on, found my sister. And 5 years ago, went to Zimbabwe, took my mother, stayed with her in Malawi. And 2010, she went to be with the Lord. And the woman, she had dumped that child. The same child brought her into the kingdom of God. Little did she know that the boy I'm dumping today will go around the globe, proclaim Jesus that he is Lord. And maybe you are here. You have someone you have never forgiven. You are still carrying the past, the anger, the bitterness. No, someone you have never forgiven. Maybe you are abused, but you are still carrying the negative things of your past. Maybe you are born again, but you have been on the same level too long. Too long. You say, God, take me up higher. Take me up higher. I've been on the same level too long. If each one of us went higher and higher, by next year we'll move out from this building. Because everyone is in the kingdom business. Passionate about God. Winning souls for Christ. We'll move out from this building because everyone has obeyed that call for Jesus to report for duty. You have to report for duty in Jesus' name. But you have to go higher first. When you go higher, you meet God on that higher level with different blessings on a higher level. But on this level, you go repeating the same thing and the same thing, the same thing. Jesus stopped for you. But he wants you to take your part also. When Jesus stopped, he asked, call him. He did his part, but he must did his part to Jesus. But he asked, what do you want me to do for you? This morning, what do you want God to do for you? Do you want you to move you from this level to a higher level? God can do it this morning. He can do it, but only say, yes, Lord Jesus, touch my life. Touch my life. Shall we stand? Shall we stand? I'd like the band to really lead us in a soft song. If you really feel God wants to touch you, say, God, move me from this level. Revelation 4, verse 1, it says, come up here. When you come up here, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. God is calling you to a higher level. Move away from this familiar position. Move to an unfamiliar position. Unfamiliar position, you find God in a new way. You say, God, maybe you are here, you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You say, Lord, here is my life. Or maybe you are born again, but you have been on the same level too long. Or something, you are struggling with the things of the past. Say, God, touch my life. I want you to come forward here and say, Lord, please minister into my life. Just leave your place. You just come forward and say, God, I need you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Don't be a spectator. Don't sit by the roadside. Say, God, I want to involve myself into action. I want to be a believer who will be in action, following Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, you will never be the same. You will be unstoppable. Say, God, touch my life. Philip, please come.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is